You've
built
the suspense pretty well, yeah. Peter.
Hey, yeah. Yellow pearl.
So I'll probably go through the 10 to 6 quite quickly, and then maybe we'll have a little more discussion on the higher numbers. So number 10 was Close, which is a Belgian drama about two boys at school who have got a kind of unusual closeness for two friends, and they're kind of basically bullied for the fact that they're quite close, and they get a lot of, you know, bullying, basically. Implication that there's more to it, but they're just two boys who are friends and really good friends. So that's a really, really good film. It's called Close. There's a Danish film called A Fire, which is Christian Petzold, who's made a lot of very good dramas. That's a very interesting film about an artist or a writer who's basically, he's going through a bit of a crisis, and he's written one book and he doesn't know if his second book is any good, and he sort of meets all these other characters who kind of bring him back down to earth because he's got quite a high opinion of himself. But yeah, so that's called A Fire. Number 8, it was Holy Spider. That came out right at the beginning of last year. It's an Iranian film. It's quite a heavy film. It's about a mass murderer of women in, it's not in Tehran, it's in one of the other holy cities in Iran. But it's based on a true story. But that's it's very gripping, but quite edgy.
Is that quite from violent. An Iranian director?
He originally, yes. I believe
he doesn't live in Iran.
He's an expat now. Oh, okay. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say it's quite difficult to.
Yeah, I don't think that film would actually be
able to
access
stories like that from some of these.
I think
territories.
Some of it's kind of shot. Yeah, I think they did it in a set in a different city that's meant to look like the city in Iran. Number 7 was How to Have Sex, which you may have heard of. It got quite a lot of buzz at the BIFFAs and the different independent British film awards kind of around the place. Yeah. So that's it's a British film. I think it's the first time director. So the director of that shot Scrapper, which you might have heard of, that's a British drama. So that's basically about a group of, I think they're 17 or 16-year-old girls who go to like Marbella or somewhere like that abroad on their first holiday.
I know
and
what you're talking about now, yeah.
Things go a little bit wrong.
Yeah, and there's like a sinister undertone. I've not seen the film.
Yeah, it's really good. It's very, very good
for it, and it's all party and sunshine.
Yeah, until it isn't.
IB for fun, and then
Yeah, some really, really talented people made that and starred in it. So I think they're all going to go very far. Number 6 was The Eight Mountains, which is I think it's a co-production, like French, Italian, might be Swiss as well. So this is like a lifelong story between these two guys who start off as childhood friends, drift apart. One of the friends sort of becomes estranged from his dad, whereas the other friend sort of becomes like a second son to the dad and promises the dad that one day they'll build this house for him in the Alps. The dad passes away, but the guy keeps his promise, and the two friends sort of come back together like 20 years later, and they build this hut basically in the Alps. It's a really beautiful film, really, really good film. I really enjoy films like that sort of start in childhood and go all the way through, and it's
you've spoken about relationships quite a lot
there's some really good
between different characters.
That's true. There's been a lot of films that are sort of close bonds this year. So number 5, and this is one that I know Spencer has seen half of, it's Killers of the Flower Moon.
I have also seen half of this.
Okay,
film.
So this is directed by a little-known filmmaker called Martin Scorsese. So this was a film that's been in the process of being made for decades, I think, basically, isn't it? So it's De Niro and DiCaprio together. I don't know if the whole film... I mean, you've not seen all of it yet, so I won't spoil anything, obviously, but I don't know if it all quite works. It leaves a kind of a few questions, which is not necessarily a bad thing. By the time you get to the end, there's some things you think, okay, not quite sure on the motivations of some of the characters.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fun to talk about these things as well.
I feel a bit like it's Succession, the TV series, but in the past in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my vibe.
What I thought was really fascinating was Lily Gladstone, who is an actress I didn't really know anything
about.
No,
she's sort of come from nowhere, isn't she?
And so she is a Native American Indian.
Yep.
yet she is the great-great-granddaughter of former UK Prime Minister William Gladstone.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Mm. Wow, okay. Well, I didn't know that.
That, which I thought was really bizarre. Like, you
know, interesting.
If, you know, you, how that family tree would form that a...
Yeah.
You know, somehow, either he or a descendant has obviously ventured to America. Yeah, I just thought that was really interesting. And it was only because, you know, an interesting-looking actress who, you know, isn't stereotypically what you would perceive as a Native American actress.
Or a Hollywood actress, yeah.
And as I said, I just knew nothing really about her before the film. And I just... So went onto her Wikipedia page, and that was what I discovered.
Yeah, she's absolutely tremendous in it, isn't she? Brilliant, yeah. Number four, again, I mean, this was one of the biggest grossing films of last year, certainly. Oppenheimer.
Yep.
Obviously, Chris Nolan. I mean, I thought 90% of the film is fantastic, like in the cinema, the effects and everything else, and the drama. Cillian Murphy, I think, will probably win the Oscar.
He
won the Golden Globe, yeah.
And
so
that was quite a few high-profile, expectant winners there, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Oppenheimer won quite a few Golden Globes.
It did.
The film, didn't it?
It got most nominated for them as well, didn't it? So, yeah, I think it's a tiny bit too long. A tiny bit too long, maybe. But, yeah, brilliant. And Robert Downey Jr., it's good to see him actually... good and in a good film. And I just really liked seeing Einstein. I just thought that whole Tom Conti bit, wasn't it? I just really, really enjoyed seeing Einstein in it. I don't know why, I just really enjoyed the Einstein bits. You don't really expect to see Einstein pop up in a film.
The film got a lot of criticism for the
Wait, there's a film about Einstein's granddaughter, isn't there?
Yes.
Peter, you need to watch that film. If you like Einstein in the film.
Ryan.
Yeah, I think so. We've watched
Meg,
it.
Walter Matthau plays Einstein.
Oh, okay.
And Meg Ryan plays his granddaughter. Can't remember what the name of the film was.
Oh, wow.
That's Einstein fun. What I was going to say, though, was Oppenheimer got a lot of grief when it was shown in cinemas because of the sound. Because it was designed with... a certain type of cinema for it to be played in.
Probably IMAX, probably.
And
we
just don't have that
right.
many cinemas that are capable of delivering the sound as Christopher Nolan wanted.
Mm. So you had to go and see it in the IMAX, didn't you, essentially?
Ideally. But you'll be pleased to know, if you purchase the Blu-ray or rent it, they have corrected the sound for home audiences.
Oh, cool.
So if you are one of the people that said you went to see Oppenheimer and you didn't really enjoy it because you couldn't hear a lot of the dialogue, it has now been tweaked. So please go and revisit it in the comfort of your own home.
I know Tenet was particularly like that for me. Like, I really lost patience with that film at the cinema because you just couldn't understand what they were saying. And the score was so loud. I didn't find that Oppenheimer was as bad as Tenet, but yeah, I'd read those things as well people complained about. So number three was The Beasts, which is a Spanish-French drama. Mm. So this is set in a village in Spain. And a French man and his wife and their daughter move to this village. And they basically want to start up like an eco-farm. Mm. So it's like a sustainable farm. But they encounter a lot of hostilities from the locals because the locals who are sort of lifetime farmers, they're stuck in this village and they won't ever leave because there's nothing else for them to do. It's all they've ever known. There's an offer to buy the land from a wind turbine company.
Yeah.
And all the locals want to sell, which you wouldn't necessarily think that they do, but they do because they want to get out and they want the money because all they do all day is farm and then drink all the money that they make away in the evening, basically. And this guy and his wife basically veto the vote and say, we don't want to leave. This is our home. We've moved here. We're doing this farm. We're doing up houses for people to use as holiday sort of homes. And they don't want to go. And this film is a like classic example of how to build dread for a film. Like, I was on edge, even though it's quite leisurely paced. It's not, you know, what you think is a thriller. It's not a thriller, but the dread of how they step up the intimidation towards these two,
like,
people,
the social interactions.
Yeah, so he goes like to the bar in the evening and they don't talk to him, and then they do talk to him, but they play all these kind of mind games with him, and then things start happening to the farm. So do you remember that film, the Double Bill film back in the 80s? Was it John de Florette? Do you remember?
Yeah, with Manon des Saussures.
Those two films, which were classics, similar kind of tone to that, where the people, their water starts getting poisoned, and they start putting car batteries in the water well, and they start ruining their crops. But then more sinister stuff, you know, they start...
And a bit of gaslighting.
They start, like, moving things around in the middle of the night and standing outside their window and all this, and it just builds and builds and builds. And the dread was so well done. The direction of that film was brilliant. Really good film, The Beasts, yeah. So that was number three. This is the first time I've ever done the list, and I couldn't choose between two, so I actually had a joint number one.
Oh, cool.
So... they were so Anatomy of a Fall, as mentioned earlier, and Past Lives. So Spencer, you've seen one of these, haven't you? Well, we saw one of them together, in fact.
Yes, yeah, we saw
romantic candlelit dinner for two.
Oh,
yeah, we saw
far away.
Anatomy of a Fall one Sunday night in a town square with a small group of 8,000 others, and yet we were the only people that didn't have chairs because our pizza took so long to come.
That's true.
That by the time we got down, all the chairs had taken, because everyone knew that this was the biggest film of the whole festival.
Yeah.
Was that on a rainy day?
No,
it didn't rain that day. So this is in Locarno. We should mention that. So Anatomy of a Fall, it won the Palme d'Or at Cannes. Mm. So it came out, I think, in the UK at roughly around November-y time, I think, in the cinemas.
Still playing.
In select ones, yeah. So this basically, Sandra Hüller, who's a magnificent actress, like, she is incredible, and everything she touches at the minute is gold. But so she plays a wife, and she's got a husband, and they're in this alpine ski sort of chalet that they own. And one day there's an argument between her and the husband, and the husband falls to his death from the second or third story of this chalet. And the film kind of looks into whether he jumped or he was pushed. And they have a son who is basically blind, isn't he? So he is an unreliable witness. She's an unreliable narrator, if you like, and the husband, obviously, we won't find out from. So it's...
So as an audience, do you know whether or not he's been pushed or whether he's jumped? Or
can we give that away?
Do you question it?
You
don't?
Yeah, I mean, we can't really say.
We won't talk about the end, but you don't know. You're not shown.
Okay, you're not shown to start with.
Correct, yeah. And so you're there through the investigation, and then about half the film is basically set in the court.
Oh, okay.
Which switches between French and German, doesn't it? Because I want to get this. She's German, isn't she? I think, and they're in the French court.
Yeah.
And she wants to speak her mind properly, so she goes in.
He's English, wasn't he? Was the husband English?
He might have been.
Because someone is English, and that's why she continuously uses English.
Yeah, as well.
At various points.
Yeah. It's a brilliant film about unreliable narrators and things like that. It's just very, very interesting. Very interesting what it does.
Back in
with
the
story.
80s, they probably would have made that as a mini-series and showed it over two nights. You know, so you've got the death.
Yeah.
And then you've got the investigation.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the stuff that goes along. And that's the other thing, you know, like it really covers how you experience the things that are affected as a result of your partner dying in unexplained circumstances. So it's, you know, things
so
like
it's not just about the court case
or being able to sign things over.
Yeah,
that's not straightforward, so that shows you the complexity of that. And then, yeah, you've got the court case, which is the whole second half of the film, yeah. And then you've got the son, which I think is decidedly creepy.
Oh, and also, should we say, amazing performance by a dog in that film.
Yeah, dog's good.
The dog acting. I mean, dog acting. It's, yeah, you've got to see the dog to really believe how good an actor the dog is. And I'm being absolutely serious.
I don't think we're ruining anything when we say anything, but the dog is essentially poisoned stroke drug. Oh,
that's right, yes.
And the dog plays this out.
Mm. So and then recovers within the same shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
really, I don't know how they did it.
Yeah.
How they did it, I'm not sure, but it was incredible. It's so basically that's
and
a really.
You were talking about that cat earlier.
the dog got a dog skirt, didn't it?
It won a Palm Dog.
Palm Dog, yeah. That's
is that an actual thing?
Yes. They made the category about 5 years ago because there was another really good dog performance. I can't remember which film it was in now, but yes, there's a real thing.
Do they have it for horses? Horses are quite good actors as well, aren't they?
Yeah. So, yeah, really good film about truth and subjectivity and all that kind of stuff. The other joint winner was Past Lives, which won a lot of praise as well. That came out in the summer, I think. So that's I think it's Canadian-Korean drama. So basically it's about a lady who grows up in Korea, leaves when she's about 10 to go to Canada. And before she left, she kind of struck up this friendship or whatever with a boy in her class, and he stays behind in Korea while she has a whole other life in Canada, marries an American man and all this kind of stuff. And then one day he gets back in touch with her because obviously he's basically been in love with her since they were 10 or 12.
Is this South Korea or North Korea?
South Korea. So he gets back in touch with her and they sort of talk to each other online, but then nothing really becomes of it, and then another 10 years goes by and they actually meet up, and it's kind of one of those like sliding door kind of moment
kind
films.
Of what if
what yeah and because she's a completely different person to how he remembers her and how she remembers her life in South Korea. It's really interesting because she's basically spent more time out of South Korea than she ever did.
Yeah.
So she doesn't really know whether she's Canadian or Korean or who she is, really.
So she's battling with this dual identity while he's kind of misunderstanding why she isn't the same person anymore.
Yeah, yeah, and he reminds her of everything that she left behind, basically, to when she left.
It's interesting as well, isn't it? Because you've got that whole East-West kind of divide in terms of culture, values, all of those things as well.
But a very, very beautiful film, very moving film. Just a really, really great drama and great acting, and yeah. So yeah, that's my 10.
Well, thank you,
Peter. Should point out that all bar one of those are available to rent from different online platforms.
That's right. Yeah. So very minimum, you'd be able to get them on Amazon Prime or Amazon Pay For, rather, I should say. But quite a few of them are on Mubi.
The Flower Moon one. What's that on at the moment?
That's on Apple TV.
That's on Apple TV.
Yes, and some of them will probably be rerun at cinemas as well, because a lot of them are going to be up in the Oscar nominations and things like that very soon, so they'll probably get reruns. Yeah.
That's great. Thank you, Peter. We're going to move on to a little bit more music now. And what have we got next? Park Life by Blur. Another little film reference here.
Classic.
Thank you. Wednesdays when I get rudely awakened by the dustman. I put my trousers on, have a cup of tea, and I think about leaving the house. I feed the pigeons, I sometimes feed the sparrows too. It gives me a sense of enormous well-being. And then I'm happy for the rest of the day, safe in the knowledge there will always be a bit of my heart devoted to it.
FM. This little cottage came to market. This stylish flat made a home. This country house had hundreds of steps, whilst this bungalow had none. And this little semi said, "Me, me, me, make me your home."
Whatever your property requirements, Beresford's have it covered. To book your free valuation, pop into one of our 17 branches across Essex and into Greater London, or visit beresfords.co.uk.
At Hutton View, we are proud to be an award-winning care home which delivers high-quality residential and dementia care. Alongside this, residents can also benefit from a wide range of inclusive services. Enjoy time in the cinema, farmhouse kitchen or landscaped gardens. For more information, search Hutton View Care Home and see for yourself why Hutton View is a care home with a difference. Hutton View, a hallmark care home.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytelford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
At The Mortgage Specialists, we offer whole-of-market mortgage advice. We pride ourselves on keeping things personal, ensuring the advice you receive is perfect for your situation. With over 25 years' experience, we offer our clients clear, independent advice delivered in a professional way. Whether you're moving, looking to renew your mortgage, or maybe looking to invest in buy-to-let, call us now on Brentwood 222932 to speak with us today. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
Phoenix FM.
Yeah.
Oh, got a little sneaky prelude of the next song there.
That was actually me with my tambourine.
I think I know what song that was, actually.
Make a guess.
Was it Jet?
Yeah.
Was it?
It was, but then...
Are you going to be my girl? I promise you, I haven't looked at this. I'm very good at that game. I promise. I haven't.
Really?
I'm on... Look.
You told me earlier on that you could play the lie good.
That's the opposite. I'm just very good at the intro game.
I said to Peter, if someone asked you what they thought of that film, he was just said, he said, he turned around and said, I haven't seen it.
That's always my first defence. It's much easier.
We'll go, yes, it's definitely a film.
It's a film that I watched.
It is a film. It's about the fragility of life.
The human condition. The human condition.
Anyway, coming away from film very, very briefly, we should probably tell you what's happening over the next couple of weeks in and around Essex so that you can get out and have a fun time in January. So I said we'll get away from film for a very brief moment because actually in Brentwood, you can go to the Brentwood Theatre Film Club. So along the theme of the day, it's definitely worth a mention that you can see an amazing selection of cinematographic hits at the Brentwood Theatre as part of their film club in the coming months. So the films that are chosen here are chosen by the theatre, and I think there is a slight link in the films that they choose as well. There's always some great cinematography in the films that they choose, and also they are all quite theatrical in their own way. So you can go and see Oppenheimer, so one of Peter's mentioned films. There's a Monday matinee on the 22nd of January at 1:30. You can go and see A Haunting in Venice, again another Monday matinee film, on the 5th of February at 1:30. Or you can see Asteroid City. There's a Monday matinee film, and that's on the 19th of February at 1:30. And that is just £6 for a ticket, plus you get a free cup of tea or coffee taken with you as well.
Lovely.
Yeah, very nice. To book that and for more information, there are a couple more films for kids on there as well. You can go over to the brentwood-theatre.co.uk website. Over at First Sight Gallery, we've not mentioned First Sight for a little while, in Colchester, you can go and see Level Best Sunshine Coast. Now this is an exhibition that comes out on the 20th of January, so just going to have to wait 1 week for that. And it ends in March. It's described as journey through the Sunshine Coast with Level Best. Experience over 100 diverse artworks created over the last decade by artists with additional needs from the Level Best Art Studio. The title of the exhibition, Sunshine Coast, draws inspiration from a 2014 commission by a train company, prompting attendees to explore the landscape and iconography of the East Anglian region. These posters are a highlight of the exhibition, displaying designs that featured at train stations in Clacton-on-Sea, Walton-on-the-Naze, Ardley and Frinton, amongst others. So that's a nice way to go and see interpretations of the Essex countryside and coastline. That is free to visit, and there is more info at the First Sight website, which is firstsight.uk. Over in Brentwood again, we've got the Arts Therapy Centre. Now we've spoken about this on the Arts Show quite a few times. This is led by Irene, who's been a roving reporter at some point as well. She is hosting some general art lessons, so if you're thinking, actually I'd really like to brush up, excuse the pun, this month with my art skills, you can go on Saturday 3rd of February 2 to 4 p.m. And learn how to paint or enhance your skills, and that's £20 per participant, and all materials are included. You will need to book. Some of these lessons do fill up quite quickly, so you can give her a call or you can email imalvezi@hotmail.com. Spelt it out there, because you probably wouldn't get the email address from my pronunciation. And the Arts Therapy Centre is actually very local to where we are now. That's on 9 Hatch Road, Pilgrim's Hatch, Brentwood. Now, the last event I'm going to talk about is Treasure or Treason. Now, we mentioned this before Christmas. This is the escape room that has been built and developed by Carrie and Hannah Davis from Kaleidoscope. And it is open again. So it was open for a very brief period of time in November. And you can go and have another go at that Fridays in January and February. So do go back if you didn't get the chance before Christmas. It's just £10. And that includes a group of four. And all money goes towards Kaleidoscope. So to book that, you can just go onto Eventbrite book your session. You don't need to give individual names, just turn up as your group of four. The reason it's four is because actually the escape room itself isn't huge, so you probably wouldn't want more than four people in there because it would ruin the experience. The room takes you on a fun journey to the past where intriguing facts and stories lead you to the real treasure. Can you beat the clock and will you get the best time? It's not the easiest escape room. You get 45 minutes in there. It's about 50-50 at the moment in terms of who is completing and who is not. So it is a challenging one. We have had a lot of positive feedback from that. The local games club got involved in a little bit of testing as well. It's a high quality immersive space. Has quirky sounds and unique atmosphere to have friends fun with your friends and family, and all money will go to Kaleidoscope, which is a charitable organisation supporting young LGBTQIA plus identifying people. Now, the last event I'm going to throw over to Spencer and Peter to talk about, because of course we mentioned Horror on Sea, but Horrific is just around the corner.
Woo!
Says the wooing man.
I knew I recognised him from
Yeah, so Horrific, the Romford Horror Film Festival, returns on February the 29th until March the 3rd. We have over 150 feature films and shorts playing over 4 days. We will have some special guests that we are not revealing yet. But
one of them is Peter Blunden.
We don't need any others.
Yeah, we're still, and the reason why we're not revealing them yet is because I'm still negotiating with people, because, you know, people want money, and you have to kind of narrow these people down on the money. One pair of people have been particularly problematic with their financial demands, so I
think, is it Peter?
So I've issued them a take it or leave it kind of offer, but you know, if they take it, then Romford is going to see something very special.
Oh, ominous.
So yeah,
it still will be special, you should say that. It's not going to be any less
because
special.
Of course it's all about the films.
Exactly.
But during the films, during the festival, we'll have a night where it's kind of like a chill night where you can gather around, talk to people, talk to other filmmakers, talk to filmmakers if you are just a general patron of the festival. You're going to be able to sit down and talk to these guys, quiz them about their choices in their films. We're also going to have a horror roulette night.
Yes, this is fun. This is the first night, isn't it? It's his party
night.
Oh, is it second night?
Yeah, second night. So that's the Friday night. And that is basically you're going to go into a screen, and the people that are in the screen are going to be picking the content that you watch. It's going to be short films that are no more than 20 minutes in length, and you just don't know what you're going to see. It could be something that you've made, it could be something that someone else has made, it could be something that you've just found on the internet that you just think is bizarre, weird or horrific.
It's quite fun. It's a bit like an open mic night, but yeah, for filmmakers. And one of the things you were saying yesterday about the film roulette is it actually opens the doors to a lot of people that might not be finding their film in the festival circuit, actually coming along and finding out why. Because, you know, when you're creating films at low budget and you've not really got that network around you, it's a really nice idea to come and just ask other filmmakers where you're going wrong or where you could improve, or even just make those connections to really up your game.
We will have about 32 world premieres.
32, wow.
Part of the Romford Horror Festival. That number can, you know, expand or grow depending on whether people their films are shown before or after, but yeah, you can find out more about Romford Horror Festival by going to romfordhorrorfestival.com. Tickets are currently on sale. A day pass is £15, I believe.
£15 for a day pass and £36 for a VIP pass. We need to say though, the first 30 VIP passes, you get a free t-shirt, not a free ticket, free t-shirt, and they are almost gone. I think there might only be one left. So yeah, go and get your VIP pass as soon as possible. The t-shirt itself is RRP £17.50, so it's a good deal there.
You do the
math. And we all wear the t-shirts as well, so you can be one of the gang.
As well as new films, we're also showing a series of classic cinema, classic horror cinema. So we're showing the films The Medusa Touch, starring Richard Burton. We are also showing Cannibal Apocalypse, starring Giovanni Lombardo Radice, who was our special guest, one of our special guests last year, and who sadly died not long after returning back to Italy. We have Possession, starring Sam Neill and Isabella Gianni.
What an experience that film is.
Natalie's Oscar-winning milk scenario in the subway.
Why did you say Natalie's? That is not me throwing my milk all over the subway.
So, and then the same night, we are showing the film Who Saw Her Die, which stars George Lazenby, fresh off the back of James Bond's On Her Majesty's Secret Service, in which he hunts down the killer of his daughter. Also has a number of James Bond regulars in that, which I think is really kind of fun. We are also screening The Beyond. And this is a Lucio Fulci film from 1980. There may or may not be some The Beyond actor stroke actresses present for the festival.
It's very exciting.
On Sunday the 3rd, we have Turbo Kid, and which is a great comedy horror. And in the afternoon, we have a kind of lost horror, The Entity, starring Barbara Hershey, which was based on the true story of a lady who was raped by a poltergeist.
Nice. So if you want to see any of these
light.
Ones, yes.
Yeah, and finally on the Sunday night, in terms of our classic cinema, we have Dario Argento's Profondo Rosso, which is, in my opinion, Dario Argento's best ever film.
I think it's the favourite, isn't it? Yeah. That's what the shop is called, isn't it?
Yeah.
Profondo Rosso. Okay, so if you want to book tickets to Horrific, do that as soon as you can. Go on the website, www.romfordhorrorfestival.com, and scroll down to the bottom of the page, click the ticket that you want to buy and purchase that. We're going to have a quick listen to some more music, and yes, Peter was correct. We're going to play Jet, Are You Going to Be My Girl?
With me because you look so fine that I really want to make you mine. I say you look so fine that I really want to make you mine. 4, 5, 6, come on and get your kicks. Now you don't need the money when you look like that, do you, honey? Big black boots, long brown hair. She's so sweet with her. I said, are you gonna be my girl? It's 1, 2, 3, take my hand and come with me because you look so fine that I really wanna make you mine. I said, you look so fine that I really wanna make you mine. 4, 5, 6, come on and get your kicks. Now you don't need money with a face like that, do ya? Long brown hair, she's so sweet. I said, are you gonna be my girl?
Peter was lying again and said that he knew what that song was, and he didn't just read our show notes. So anyway, as we transition to the big screen, it's worth pointing out that for the first time in history, the Oscars will be screened on ITV. For over 20 years, it was shown on the BBC before heading over to Sky for a whopping 34 years. Now, its new UK home is actually in the UK. Wow. Isn't that
bizarre.
Nice?
I just find that really a strange thing. You know, you've always associated the Oscars with, you know, BBC, Sky. You know, it's like anything can move, but just, I don't know, I find that really fascinating that the Oscars has gone to ITV, of all places. Mm. You know, Channel 4, maybe.
Yeah.
I could accept that. ITV just seems like a really strange place for the Oscars.
Because of the cultural relevance, in a way.
Yeah, it's just unusual. Normally, you know, like
would expect it to be on the BBC.
The Oscars goes with the channel that has some sort of like highbrow connection with film. You know, it was always the Oscars would follow Barry Norman's film of whatever on BBC, and then on Sky, you know, they used to make a big song and dance out of it, and they'd show, you know, like 100 Oscar-winning films before the night of the Oscars. So yeah, interesting. So let's talk very quickly about the films that are coming up in the big screen between now and the end of March. Coming Wednesday,
are you going to wear pink?
No. We've got Mean Girls, and no, this is not based on the movie, but the stage show based on the movie. Are you following me?
Yeah.
The story is a musical adventure about an outsider pulled into a mystical group of teenage girls who basically everyone wants to be part of. Featuring songs from the stage show and brand new ones, the movie has a few unexpected cameos, but you might need to keep your eyes open because blink and you'll miss them. And I take this...
Tina Fey, isn't it? That's the most exciting part.
Yeah, but she's not a cameo. I think you're going to find every one of the Mean Girls appears from the film appears at some point.
Do you think?
Mean Girls.
I read an article that was implying differently, but we'll see.
There are apparently there's things like photographs
there,
and there's a couple of like minor walk-ons. But yeah, that's reading between the lines. That's what I took from what I've picked up from, I think it was the Telegraph. Anyway, 2nd of February, we have Argyle. And this is a new movie from Matthew Vaughn, who bought us Kick-Ass, Kingsman, and last year's Tetris.
Oh, that was my favourite film of last year.
Oh.
I've decided, just now. I love that film. I almost watched it again yesterday instead of Barbie.
The story of Argyle follows an author who somehow conjures up a spy she created in her mind Has she created him? Did he have memories? Does she have memories of another life? Along for the ride is a semi-CGI cat in a bag. And this is... the cat in the bag is like one of those bags that you're always saying we should get for Bub.
Like a Japanese... It started in Japan, didn't it? Like a backpack with a bubble.
Backpack with the bubble, yeah.
The film is made by Apple, who have a recent history of action movies, Ghosted, Family Plan, and of course Tetris, which was the unexpected action movie of last year.
Unexpected.
Who expected action in Tetris? And so, you know, this is due to Apple's huge purses. The film will start in cinemas and arrive on Apple TV 45 days later, as they have done with Killers of the Flower Moon and Napoleon, that burst onto the platform in just under 3 weeks. Argyle stars Henry Cavill, Sam Rockwell, Samuel L. Jackson, Dua Lipa, Sophie Boutella, Bryce Dallas Howard, and Bryan Cranston. 2nd of February would have been, had it been allowed by Peter's rules, on his top 10 of 2023, because he saw this at Film Festival last year, and this is the zone of interest. And having rocked the festival circuit in 2023, Jonathan Glazier's story about a Nazi officer trying to make the perfect home next to a prisoner of war camp truly shocked audiences wherever it was screened. The film is based on Rudolf Hoss, who was seemingly one of the only German officers to openly say, post the story of Zone of Interest, that they'd been led in a false direction and retracted all of his actions during the Second World War. What really stood out for you about Zone of Interest, Peter?
I mean, this is a film that I would recommend that everyone should see because it's such an experience. I mean, it would have been number one. I saw it at London Film Festival. It would have been number one of 2023 for me if I allowed it in the rules. And if I see a better film during this year, I will be shocked because... Yeah, I mean,
is it one of those films where you need to watch it, but you're only going to watch it once?
Yes, absolutely. It's incredibly bleak, and it's basically it's about the commandant of Auschwitz and his wife and his kids, and they live in the house, like this perfect house with a perfect garden, and you literally over the wall you've got the camp, and you never go inside the camp, but all you hear is the sound. Of the different sounds of the camp, and the sound design is absolutely incredible. It's so, you're so tense because the gunshots you hear constantly, and it's a very, very bleak film, but it's absolutely incredible. The acting is amazing. It's basically, the theme is, you know, how it's about the banality of evil, about how these people, you know, because in film especially, Nazis are seen as characters, not real people.
Yeah, and the characters are always bad people, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, people that really love bringing hatred and death
but
and stuff.
This film kind of, it really brings home what they did and how easily they did it, and the sort of functionality of it, the sort of the scale of it is it's just, they're kind of like normal people going around doing normal sort of their job.
Yeah.
But their job is like the most horrific thing that mankind has ever done.
Yeah.
It's an incredible film.
You question humanity in a way.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's an incredible film.
March the 1st, we have June 2. And this is the not so hot on the heels of June of the original, which is 2021. This second instalment, in which the story continues, based on the famous novels, now accepted as one of their own, Paul Atreides gets back onto plan to build an army to take down the Harkonnens. I repeat, Harkonnens, not Harkonnens. This is probably the most anticipated movie of the first half of 2024, and it has a phenomenal cast, including Timothy Chalamet, Florence Pugh, Christopher Walken, Austin Butler, Charlotte Rampling, and Javier Bardem, to name but a few.
Yeah. I mean, I loved the first part. This is one of my most anticipated films of this year as well. I thought the first Dune was part one was brilliant. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Timothée Chalamet.
No.
But even he, like, you know, didn't ruin my enjoyment of the film. It's such a great sci-fi epic. It's brilliant. I can't wait for part two.
And being big fans of the David Lynch version of Dune, you know, there was a lot of negative thought about this film, you know, being remade. It was like, well, you know, how can you mess with perfection? Actually, you know, they've done a good job. And the final mention is March the 29th, you have Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. Back in New York, Ghostbusters new and old will gather together to fight the biggest threat ever after an ancient artifact is discovered. Fans will be thrilled to see the original movie's favourite Slimer return. As well as William Atherton recreating his villain role of the very living Walter Peck, still determined to stop the Ghostbusters once and for all. Other cameos that you could look out for. Apparently someone from the female-led Ghostbusters has a surprise cameo in it. And you can also expect to see both Sigourney Weaver and Rick Moranis.
Oh, that'd be nice to see him back.
Cool. So lots to be getting out to the cinema to see over the next couple of months. Great that so many of them are going to be in cinemas before they are on our home screens as well. Right, we're running out of time, so I'm going to have a little listen to some No Doubt, a Sunday song. It's not Sunday morning, but we'll listen to it anyway. And then we will come back after this.
Phoenix FM.
At Active Signs and Designs Limited, our team are passionate about getting you noticed. First impressions are everything. So if you're driving a commercial vehicle, how are people seeing you? Our vehicle graphic products and well-designed signage can make you stand out from the crowd. Give the team a call on 01708 343 555 or visit us at activesignsanddesigns.co.uk and start getting your business noticed today.
Looking to celebrate a birthday, anniversary, or maybe an engagement soon? At Brentwood Golf Club, our fully licensed function room is perfect for your special occasion. With reasonable room hire, a fully stocked bar, and access to decorate your theme from 10 a.m, contact Stacey or Chanel in our functions team on 01277 375 101 to find out more. Brentwood Golf Club Function Room, making your celebration that bit more special.
EV Charging Systems, your local, independent and experienced specialist home and workplace charge point suppliers and installers. With over 1,000 installations throughout Essex and East London and a 5-star excellent Trustpilot rating, we provide great personal service and are committed to help Essex drivers go green. Visit www.evchargingsystems.co.uk or call us on 01268 710459. Install, charge and go with EV Charging Systems.
If you're up for a fantastic challenge, for an inspiring cause, why not take on the Baker's Brentwood Half Marathon for St Francis Hospice? Taking place in March 2024, it's a great opportunity to get fit, make a difference, and be part of Team SFH. For more information and to find out how you can take part, just search St Francis Hospice Brentwood Half.
Phoenix FM.
We'll be right back.
unfortunately, that's all we have time for this week. But next week, Claire will be back to share another chilled arts programme. Next up is Nigel, our soul and funk legend, who can guarantee to get you moving on Sunday night. We'll leave you with a couple of tracks to get you prepared, move your feet, and if there's time, Ting Tings. Why not, if there's time? Spencer?
I've been Peter.
And I've been Natalie, and this has been the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
Won't stop the beat.